Our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, who presents the Ira Kaufman podcast and all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Bill Curry Ford is a true Tampa tradition for the last 60 years. They are Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. Get to BillCurryFord.com before you shop anywhere else. BillCurryFord.com. No payments till summer. Nationwide lifetime warranty. General Manager Sean Sullivan ready to serve you any possible way he can. BillCurryFord.com.
We can't be so jaded that we turn our nose down at 8-5. Brain dead, Steve. Brain dead. Don't ever say anything like that in week 14. That is nuts.
Yeah. Buccaneers fans, week 15 on the Ira Kaufman podcast. We are fired up. The Bucs are good again, Ira. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Pasco County, Uncle Ira, on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford for the last 60 years. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We got a lot to talk about, Ira. The Bucs put up a W. Ira, you know what? Before you tell us how you're doing, what did you learn about the Bucs on Sunday?
I learned it's nice to have a reliable kicker. That's what the hell I learned. And I think every Buck fan, within the sound of my voice, everyone, including you two hoodlums, should wrap a Christmas present and call the Minnesota Vikings and try to get an address for Dan Bailey and send them a little trinket in the mail. What a disaster. That looked like many a Buck kicker of yore. And Lee, I'm not sure the Bucks win that game if this guy makes a couple of field goals. And here's my point, Lee. Not only is it points on the scoreboard, you can't expect him to make a 54-yarder. I understand that. But it's deflating, Lee, and you can't measure that. And I think that's been a big part of the Buck problems, too, with these kicking woes over the years, Lee. It's very deflating when you drive the ball, you dominate most of the first half, which I think Minnesota did, and you walk in and you're losing. You're losing. Now, that happens a lot when you're playing the Chiefs and Mahomes. They fall behind, and next thing you know, you're up 10-0, then you're down 28-10. It just happened to the Dolphins. This is not Pat Mahomes. You know, Lee, the Bucs caught some breaks yesterday. Let's just put it like that.
Oh, yeah, they caught some breaks. I can't agree with you enough. You know, you talk about deflation when a guy misses field goal after field goal after field goal. And, you know, a lot of these stat guys, people that are absolute and total slaves to numbers. And sometimes I wonder if they even watch games, they just look at numbers, try to make predictions. But what these guys never factor in, and they get upset when you bring this up because they can't slap a number, a GD number on it. They're human beings that play games, flesh and blood. Some guys play hurt. Some guys play hungover. Some guys play with a cold. They have a conscience. They have a heart. Like you said, when things go wrong time after time after time, that wears on you mentally, physically. And that's the beauty of sports. These guys try to turn everything into some kind of tabulation table. And that's not sport. That's not life. And they can't put a number on it. They don't factor that in. And they get really bent at you when you mention it. How dare you, you know? And then they try to you know, look down and condescend with you. And you're absolutely right, Ira. And that's what drives me nuts about the stat guys. You know, everything is predictable. What's so predictable? How much money did you put on it? Well, I didn't. Okay, there you go. Another thing you pointed out, Ira, and I totally agree with, if all those kicks are made, we don't know how that game's going to turn out. Could be the Bucs win, but the fourth quarter is completely different. The fourth quarter, the Vikings aren't passing every down. The Bucs can't pin their ears back. Shaq Barrett, JPP. You know, who knows how that game turns out? I was wringing my hands for 2 weeks. Look out for the Vikings. Look out for the Vikings. Well, you know what? They make those kicks. It's what, a one-point game? But you know what? What I liked about the game, the Bucs played okay. They didn't play lights out. At least they still started off like garbage. What, 5 plays offensively in the first quarter? Come on. So at 6 games now, they've scored 1 touchdown in the first quarter. With that kind of talent, that's inexcusable. I'm sorry. But what I liked about this game was the Bucs took advantage of these mistakes the Vikings made. How many times have we watched the Bucs games over the years in the post-Chucky era that the other team was playing like garbage and trying to hand the game to the Bucks, and the Bucks could not take advantage. Well, this time they took advantage, and how refreshing that was. And, oh, by the way, yes, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Thank you, Bruce Arians, for making kicking boring again in Tampa Bay.
Well said, Lee. The Bucks did some good things, Steve. Well, you know, I'll be the first to say it. The pass rush was very good. The pass protection was very good. They were better on third down. They were better in the red zone, better on special teams. That all adds up to a victory. But the Bucks are going to have to play better than that, Steve. Not so much down the stretch. I think they can play like that and win two out of the last three. But I'm talking about going on the road in January. And Steve, here's another break besides, you know, Dan Bailey. I thought Zimmer went brain dead. Steve, brain dead. He had a horrendous second quarter. The second coming of Anthony Lynn. I mean, what's the matter? He doesn't like Anthony Lynn being out there by himself in terms of horrible decisions. He wants to join him. 54-yard field goal, Steve, from Dan Bailey, who couldn't make it, you know, from 40? What are you doing? Punt the ball. Pin him back. Instead, he gives Brady a short field, ends up with a touchdown. And then what the heck is he doing late in the second quarter? You know, Steve, I said this before, and I don't think it gets enough attention. Some of these coaches, late in the quarters, even if the field position is dead set against them, dead set, you know, and there's 40 seconds left in the half, sit on the ball, go in, you know, you're down, I think it was 14-6 at the time. Take your lumps, Steve, and go in and make your adjustments. No. Zimmer doesn't do it. 3rd and 7, they got to throw the ball. Instead, Brady's got time to throw that Hail Mary, another horrible play by the Vikings on the Hail Mary. And, Lee, I can just hear you saying, Sage, you're always talking about throwing that deep ball. You might get that flag. You sure might. What horrible coverage, Steve. The Vikings self-destructed in great part on Sunday afternoon, Steven.
Sage, you made a lot of good points there. I want to tick them off here. First, what you mentioned, deflating and that 54-yard field goal, it's not just deflating. I'll say that's deflating because the players are looking around at their coach saying, well, what is our coaching staff doing? You know, it reminded me of when the Bucks used to like hold hands and have prayer vigils when Roberto Aguayo would be trotted out to kick. It's like, you know, the offense and the defense looks at that and is like, it loses confidence in the coaching and the whole situation. It was bad for the Vikings, and it was really very refreshing to see the Buccaneers completely outcoach another team, I thought. Ira, Sunday is Fan Appreciation Day at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, and that's exciting for about four reasons. One, we got a lot of giveaways to give away there. Kickoff 1 o'clock for the Falcons game. You're going to be there in full regalia, ready to roll by noon. Florida's Elite Restoration, our good friends, Tampa Bay's number one restoration company. Anytime you have a disaster, they're going to be buying fans a beer, one beer, between noon and one. So to get everybody ready for the game, Big Storm Brewery's got that gorgeous outdoor seating area, 3,000 covered square feet, open air, great game watching, great sound. So we're all fired up to be there. We got a lot of giveaways. Man Beast Zach is going to be out there. It's going to be a really good time. And, of course, the big attraction, Ira, is you and Florida's finest craft beer, which is Big Storm Beer. Great place to just enjoy a great meal. And you can walk out of there with a few 4-packs, great gifts for the holidays. Florida's best craft beer. Get to BigStormBrewery.com. But we're really excited. We're so excited to get fans a free beer from Florida's Elite Restoration. And anybody in the business, you know, plumbers, contractors, AC contractors, you want to come and talk shop with Florida's top mold remediation specialist and water damage specialist, they'll be out there, Florida's Elite Restoration, and I bet you they'll buy you two beers if you're in the business and want to chat a little bit.
You know, Steve, I got separation anxiety from Big Storm. It's been a month. That's too long. I miss our Buck people. I miss the wait staff. I miss the scrumptious craft beers, the fantastic menu. Steve, I can't wait to get over there. I think I'm pulling out the Sage shirt for Sunday, Steve. The Sage shirt's coming on. I'm going to drop some pearls of wisdom. Josh from Florida's Elite Restoration is going to be there. It's going to be a great time. I'll get there a little before noon. We got a 1 o'clock kickoff. It's time to go up I-75, take care of business against the Falcons, who It looks like the Raheem Morris effect has worn off a little bit, Stevie. They lost a game, I believe, Sunday that they had no business losing to the Chargers. I think they were driving deep into Charger territory with the score tied in the final 2 minutes. And next thing you know, Ryan threw a pick. Inexplicable. So we'd like to see that repeated at Mercedes-Benz next week. And I can't wait to get back to Big Storm, 49th Street, gentlemen. A little south of Olmerton.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're just excited. And it's not that we might have giveaways, Ira. We got a whole bunch of them. So it's very exciting. Bucks Fan Appreciation Day at Big Storm, Clearwater. Sage will be out there. I'll be harassing you, Ira, as well. Now, as far as the coaching goes, Ira, I was so impressed. Just tickled because, let's face it, Bruce Arians is not known for being a clock management wizard. I was just tickled with how he out-chess matched Mike Zimmer at the end of the first half, and Brady was calm and brilliant in moving that ball and getting it clocked with 1 second left, maybe three quarters of a second left, maybe half a second left, and setting up that Hail Mary in the end zone there that you just referenced to Gronkowski. And let's face it, it was a perfectly thrown ball, and it was 1-on-3. And you know what? When you got a guy and you're paying him, and he's a Hall of Famer, and he's 6'7" and bigger than any human on the field. It was just a perfect setup, and then they did the smart thing, went for the field goal, took the points, got the ball back to start the third quarter, and out comes Shady McCoy, and then all of a sudden they got a big lead. We don't see that kind of clock management here very often.
Absolutely, and Lee, you got to give some credit to Brady with all that experience and poise to clock that ball with 1 second, give himself a chance. He's right. He floated a beautiful ball. From a Minnesota perspective, why aren't you lining up the guys on the 10-yard line? I mean, the 10-yard line, not the 35, the 10. You got to score a touchdown. There's 1 second left. They can't do anything more than the next snap. And Lee, for some reason, and maybe you can explain this to me, Gronkowski got behind a guy. I forgot the guy's name, but he didn't turn around. I mean, you can't botch a play any worse than the Vikings botched that one. They had two or three guys in the end zone, and this joker comes up behind Gronkowski and interferes with him. And you talk about deflation. That was another big blow. Lee, instead of 14-6, it's 17-6. The Bucks are going to get the ball the start of the second half. I mean, the Vikings did everything but lay down and say, here, Tampa, take it.
Two things in the Hail Mary. First, I know that referees generally give teams leeway. You know, you wrestle a little bit for that ball. But Gronkowski was almost sacked. He was almost tackled. I mean, he had two guys slam into him. There's no way you could make that catch. The way I think one guy almost put his arms around him. It's almost like you said, Ira, that he gave up. You know, he's like, well, you know, I'll get interference, but they're not going to get seven on me. But also, even with Gronkowski being interfered with, Godwin was a cat's whisker away from catching that ball. He comes flying in there at the end, and he almost came up with that ball. He had the ball in his hands. It's like, I was yelling at the TV. I thought he had it for a second there.
And Steve, to back up your point, Arians coached a very good game on Sunday. I would say his best game of the season. And for any Buck fan that's out there, Steve, there might be a few of them that say, wait a minute, you got one extra snap with the ball at the 1 yard line. You got to take it and go for the touchdown. That's nuts, Steve. Arians did the right thing, and I'll tell you why. Because we've been talking about deflation and elation. If you go for it from the one and you get stuffed, that is a huge lift for the visitors, and Arians did the right thing. Take the short 3 points. You're up 11. You're getting the football. Arians had a clean sheet on Sunday. Coached a very good game.
Well, I got to dial you back there. I said he out-coached Mike Zimmer, but let's face it, Sage, the Buccaneers came out flat on defense. They came out flat on offense in the biggest game of the year, essentially a playoff game. They recovered, and I'm not taking anything away, but I can't give him high marks for having his team come out and look like they did in the first quarter again.
You know, the slow starts, Lee, it's driving us crazy. You can imagine what Buck Nation is thinking about all this. You play a better team than the Vikings and a better kicker, Lee, you might be down 17-0 again for the second straight game.
Oh, not like they're playing the poor sisters of the blind school in Houston or something. Vikings are not that bad. I keep saying that, and people don't agree with me. That's a 1-point game, and it's anybody's game. So
Lee, they're 6-7. Lee, they're 6-7. I mean, those are the facts.
Yeah,
they're 6-7.
And six. They have great talent. You know, they're not the Chiefs, but they're not the Jets either. I believe, and still do believe, they're on par with the Bucs. But I'm with Steve. This is we can't call this such a wonderful coaching job when, once again, with this talent, they cannot generate any offense in the first quarter. To me, that's game planning. And that's the key element of coaching, is game planning.
Steve, we shouldn't let Bulls off the hook here in terms of being flat in the first half. Right. I mean, the Vikings looked like they were on their way to get about 35 or 40 first downs before this game was over. It was very scary in the first quarter. I mean, I think they had a 14-play drive, Steve. 14 plays? They ran the ball very well on the Bucs. I was a little surprised at that. The Bucs couldn't stop them, couldn't get off the field. Like Lee said, 5 offensive snaps, first 15 minutes. So the flip side is the Bucs, you know, can play a lot better than that. I think they have to play a lot better than that if they want to do any damage in January.
Yeah, I agree. You know, they have to play better. And, you know, we can nitpick here because we're talking playoffs. We're 8-5. Bucks win next week. If the Vikings beat the Bears in Minnesota, the Bucks are in, and we're dancing with 2 games to go. So we have to hold a high standard. But I can't, we'll end the kicking talk. I can't pretend at all that this guy should have made that 54-yard field goal, or even would have made that 54-yard field goal. So in my mind, you know, the Vikings left 7 points on the board with kicking. And still, that only gives them 21 points. And in the NFL, you got to score a lot more than that to win. So I can't go too crazy on the defense.
And the Bucs left the point, right, Steve? The Bucs left the point on the board.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. So I can't go too crazy on the Bucs defense, but they got to do better in the first quarter.
Lee, I don't know what it's going to take to turn around these sluggish starts. I mean, it's a very annoying habit if you're a Buck fan. They played a very good fourth quarter, which is very encouraging. Pass rush was excellent. Lee, I can't remember a pass that Cousins threw in the fourth quarter, and he threw a lot of them, when he wasn't under a lot of heat. I mean, not one. And like you always like to say, the Vikings offensive line is, it's not the 93 Dallas Cowboys. I mean, it's not. Or the 78 Steelers, Lee. But the pass rush was outstanding. And it came from a lot of directions, but I thought Shaq Barrett set the tone. I called him out, Lee, and I think he responded.
With Shaq Barrett, ESPN, and I can't remember the writer's name, the guy I never heard of before. That doesn't mean he's a bad writer. I just never heard of him before. He had a really, really big, long, interesting feature on Shaq Barrett last week.
Yeah, I did read that. Yeah,
and you probably noticed, Ira, that Shaq said, teams were prepared for him this year. They were really prepared for him, and he had all these moves. He was ready to rock and roll, and they had answers for him. And he said on the fly, he basically had to relearn how he was going to attack offenses. He literally had to relearn, had to learn new moves on top of it. Here's a guy.
Didn't he say he had 19 moves or something? 19 techniques?
I saw 9.
Nine. 9, okay.
He said he had to add a couple more. And it looks like, when he did his interview, it had to be a month ago. Well, about a month ago, if you look at the last few games, he started to turn things around about a month ago. But I want to say he's got 5 sacks in the last 6 games and like 7 quarterback hits in the same amount of time and forced fumble. And he's turned it around the last few games. So
he has.
He's turned things around. I think part of it is Bowles is letting him line up on the right side. And I gotta admit, if he's comfortable with the right side and he's one of the biggest keys of your defense, just let him stay there.
And Steve, a couple of points. JPP is versatile enough to handle that, Steve. It's not going to throw JPP off. He played a lot of left defensive end as a New York Giant. He did. He's also can play inside. So JPP is a very versatile piece. And I think that gives Bowles the flexibility to move Barrett around. Steve, you know the play I loved with Barrett is when he faked the edge rush and looped inside and found an open crease to Cousins. That was a beautiful play. I haven't seen a lot of that this year for Barrett. He usually comes around the left edge or the right edge. And, boy, that was some sweet play. And Lee's right. He's picked up his game, Steve. It couldn't have come at a better time, Mr. Isbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the last two games, he and JPP have swapped sides quite a bit. And right now, as the numbers sit, Shaq has 8 sacks. He's tied for 11th in the NFL. JPP, 9.5 sacks. That's 8th in the league. JPP also has a career high 4 forced fumbles and a couple of interceptions. So it's been a hell of a year for those guys. What was different, Ira, on Sunday is, aside from them rushing, each of them rushing a little bit inside more, you had a career high snaps for Anthony Nelson, who played about half the game, and a career high for Patrick O'Connor, who basically never plays, and all of a sudden he's got 20 snaps on the defensive line. Bowles really made a conscious effort to mix it up with these guys and have a real rotation, and I don't know if that helped or not, but it sure looked like it did.
I think that was a big factor, Steve, and Lee, the bit players, so to speak, the bit players. You know, not the stars, but the bit players. And I thought Nunez Roaches made some plays, throwing that in there next to Sue. And so you add that in with the O'Connors of the world, and it wasn't just JPP and Shaq, who I think they've been trying to carry this thing alone for too long, and I think it's shown. And now they got some help, and, you know, for the first time maybe yesterday, and I don't think you could really say this that much before yesterday, people like to say, oh, they really missing Vita Vea. And I think Vita Vea is going to be a really good player in this league, Lee. But they still had the number one rush defense. And that was Vea's forte. I mean, let's be honest. And they were not getting hurt by running backs. And I got to tell you guys, for somebody who doesn't watch Dalvin Cook on a week-to-week basis, the guy is fabulous. The guy's fabulous. Mm-hmm. He's stronger. Lee, he's stronger than he gets credit for. He's not one of these, you know, little 180-yard pound tailbacks that can't break a tackle. He's very tough to stop on the swing passes.
Ira, we haven't seen 180-yard tailback since 1977.
he played a whale of a game, Cook. And if the Vikings, you know, hadn't folded in the second quarter, he would have been an even bigger factor in terms of them having to throw a lot in the second half. And you know, it reminds Buck fans of the guy that they wanted to draft, Lee, in 2017. It didn't happen. But, you know, Rojo's not looking too bad in the Buck uniform either.
Rush defense? Let's not pretend he had an Eric Dickerson 200-yard game, or he had 102 yards. Okay, first running back in a year and a half had 100 yards on the Buck. That's fine. They still lost. They still contained him. He wasn't much of a factor in the fourth quarter because the Vikings are behind. You know, hat tip to Dalvin Cook. That's why you're the best running back in the league. But it wasn't like he hurt the Bucs.
Well, he was a factor, Steve, in the first quarter when the Buc defense couldn't get off the field. Cook was a big part of that.
Look, Cook's a great player. He stood out because the Bucs, you know, don't really let anybody run on him. So it was a standout day from that perspective. But as we talk here right now, Buccaneers have the number one ranked run defense in the NFL. So no let up there. It was just a different kind of defensive day for the Bucs. They really committed to not allowing the deep threat, and they accomplished that goal. So good for them. And I haven't watched any of the film yet, Sage, but a lot of those sacks, you can see Cousins looking downfield and he's got nothing. So I got to think a lot of good things were happening in the secondary, even though they showed plenty of holes early and Devin White just can't really cover anybody. I guess we'll have to wait till next year for that. Sage, we want to remind everyone that if you have a leak in your home, the moment you spot it, you contact Florida's Elite Restoration. Their website, floridaselite-restoration.com, has all kinds of great information, including letting you know that they are available 24/7, and they're going to come out and give you a free assessment of what's happening in your home. Don't call your insurance company. Let Florida's Elite Restoration check it out, and they can guide you and help you with your insurance and make sure you don't get ripped off. It's very important. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are Tampa Bay's disaster company. And of course, there are good friends here on the podcast. We already mentioned how they'll be at a big storm buying everybody a beer before the game. One beer per person, noon to one. That includes you, Sage. You get your free beer. And Florida's Elite Restoration, though, seriously, they are the number one mold remediation specialist in town. They're licensed. They're not just mold guys. And you got to use them. You got to bookmark them. Remember, if you have that problem, Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
You know, Lee, one of the things about the slow starts, which I really can't figure it out, you know, the defense is starting slow, the offensive line starting slow. But, Lee, here's another guy who's starting slow, Brady. Brady is starting slow, Lee. He's missing passes that he should complete in his sleep. And it's taken the guy, you know, 20 minutes of game time to get used to his receivers. I think I speak for you on this one. In the next 3 weeks, watching the broadcasters, and I don't care if it's Troy Aikman or whoever it is, we're not going to get Aikman. We're not going to get the A team at Mercedes Benz. I don't expect that. But Lee, here's something I don't want to hear. Brady and his receivers, they're still struggling to be on the same page. Throw that damn book out, Lee. Don't ever say anything like that in week 14. That is nuts.
Not only week 14, but don't even say that with the pandemic. I mean, how many on that point? I put this out on Twitter during a game. As soon as I heard Troy Aikman say that, if Brady's timing is off with all of his receivers, which is what Aikman was insinuating, all his receivers, then that's on Mr. Six Rings. That's not on the Bucks receivers. If your timing is in December 13th, is off on every one of your receivers, including the tight end you played with for a decade, that's on you. As far as Brady starting out cold, he's an old man. He's 43. You know this. Going to take your bones a while to get warmed up.
Next thing you know, Ira's going to say, look, you got a 1 o'clock game. You take that pill at 11:38. Come on.
Hey, guys, when I go out to the rec center to play tennis with my boys, you know, I warm up for a minute and a half. I'm ready to go, and I'm hitting winners right off the bat. Zing, zing, zing. Backhands, forehands, you got it. Doesn't take me six games to figure out what's going on. Hey, guys, another good decision by the Bucks yesterday, besides some of the sharp moves by Arians and Brady in that second quarter.
Letting Roger Goodell in?
Benching Leonard Fournette, gentlemen, for LeSean McCoy. Steve, McCoy was a big factor in that opening drive of the second half. Four carries, 32 yards, touchdown drive, centerpiece back for that drive. Never carried the ball again, but by that time, Lee, he had made a nice contribution.
Yeah, he made his mark, and he also got a big 15-yard penalty on the end of one of those runs. He took a shot to the head and didn't shy away.
That's
after
right.
That. So good for him. You know, he was tweeting all week, Ira, all sorts of, like, uplifting messages. They must have told him he was going to be active again. And, you know, he wants to play next year. I think that's pretty obvious. So, you know, and what's interesting about this season right now, Ira, and you guys kind of hinted at it earlier with Shaq, but Bucks have a lot of guys who are playing for contracts and not necessarily for this team, from Antonio Brown to Leonard Fournette to Shady McCoy to – you know, other free agent to bees like
maybe Sue,
yeah, Godwin, yeah. Shaq. You know, the list goes on. So, you know, that becomes important as we get later in the year here. But there's no excuse for Brady. Some of the, you know, he missed wide open Godwin early, wide open Ronald Jones early, and you know, overthrew both of them by a mile. You just can't do that.
And the misfire to Gronkowski, Steve. Don't forget about that one. That came right in the that was the opening drive, I believe.
When he got behind the safety.
That was not a difficult throw, Steve. That was not.
It just he started off flat, but we all know why Bruce Arians wanted him here, aside from the cachet and the excitement and all that stuff. Arians said it all off season, and he said it again today, Ira, Monday afternoon. No turnovers. And Brady, has he lost a fumble all year? I don't even remember at this point if he's lost a fumble. And he hasn't taken a lot of hits. He's getting rid of the ball. 30 touchdowns now, 11 picks. He's four touchdowns from the franchise record. Overall, we sort of all sat here, you know, in the offseason saying, hey, if he can cut the picks in half and get up to 30 touchdowns, then you know, meaning in half from what Jameis had, that they should be in good shape if the defense can be average. Well, here we are, and the defense is top 10, barely, but top 10. So it's sort of all going to plan.
It is. And guys, we remember the last time the Bucks were 8-5, Cutter's first year, and then they lost two out of their last three. This one's got a different feel, guys. They're in a lot better shape this year at 8-5, even though they controlled their destiny in 2016. I understand that. But Lee, this 8-5 feels a little bit different. And for anybody who thought we were overhyping the importance of the Vikings game, Lee, as things turned out, the Cardinals spanked the Giants on the road. And so they went to 7-6, Lee. And if the Bucs would have lost that game, they would have been 7-6. The Vikings would have been ahead of them. Now you're fighting the Cardinals for the seventh and final wild card spot. So, Lee, we didn't overhype that game. And thankfully, the Bucs responded with the W.
That was a very, very important game. That was basically a playoff game. And I think the players knew it, too.
Yeah, let's certainly hope they knew it. The fans knew it. Sage, let me read you a list because I know you love these nuggets. And, you know, I know you love the turnover differential. It's always a hot topic of yours in the offseason. Let me just read you the list of teams that are better than the Bucks at turnover differential this year. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
New Orleans, Cleveland, Kansas City, Tennessee, Miami, Indianapolis, and Pittsburgh. That's basically a playoff lineup right there.
You know, Steve, that was six teams I think you mentioned. If you added up the six records, you know, you'd have an 80% winning rate there. Lee, it never fails. It's the one constant. It never, never fails. The teams at the top make the playoffs, and the teams at the bottom, by and large, there's usually one out of the bottom 10 that's an outlier, maybe one, tops two. But year after year, Lee, it never changes. That is the denominator, and that's why coaches dwell so much on it. You can't get around it.
Well, you know what? What's interesting is I had this very same subject I talked to Sean Sullivan about. Sean Sullivan, of course, our friend Bill Curry Ford, the general manager of the first family of Ford in Tampa. And Sean Sullivan is adamant that there's a bigger tip-off than turnover differential. Sack differential. He said, you look at sack differential, it's glaring. The good teams and the bad teams. And he told me, so sometimes he goes, do research on sack differential. He goes, you want to see a separation between good and bad. He goes, you look at sack differential. And I, you know, just off the top of my head, I believe he's got a point, but I never sat down and did an in-depth study on that. But it's an interesting point. As I wrote in one of my stories today on JoeBucksFan.com, I am obsessed with sack. Sack, sack, sack. I think probably the greatest saying in football history, mantra, you can call it, was Al Davis's famous quote, the quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. That was true in the 1960s, and it's true in the 2020s.
Great. That was the last line of my column on Sunday night, in the words of Al Davis.
You can get away with a mediocre defense if you've got a good pass rush. And I cited the Chiefs. The Chiefs last 3 years have had a mediocre defense. This year it looks like they're making another Super Bowl run. Last year, obviously, they won the Super Bowl. 2 years ago, with a lousy defense, they were in overtime in the AFC Championship game. Why was that? Because they could get after the quarterback.
Sage, on that front, Brady is on pace for 19 sacks this season, getting sacked 19 times, only twice since 2009, and that would be one of the seasons, 09, twice has he had less than 20. So he's getting the kind of protection that he's used to, and the running game's been there. So, you know, it's exciting. Now, I got to ask you this question, Ira. This is going to take some deep thought. All right, are you ready for this one?
Of course, my friend.
Now, do you think it's a bad thing for as far as the development of the Bucs and their preparation to hopefully make a run in the playoffs? You think it's a bad thing that they basically have three slappies left on the schedule? I think that's a bad thing. I don't like that. I'd rather have a couple of competitive games in there. The Falcons are bad. I have to think that they're in some ways going to mail it in, and that's just the reality. They were bad again yesterday. Two teams who didn't want to win the game, and the Chargers ended up winning it. and the Lions are the Lions. So is that a bad thing for the Bucks?
Steve, I understand your point, but I would say this. I think your point would be a lot more valid if the Bucks were locked into a playoff seeding, and I don't think that's the case. Lee, if they win out, they go 11-5, and let's assume the Rams win the West. I'm not sure that the Bucks can't beat out Seattle for the number five spot, and I'd still take my chances, Lee, about playing the Redskins on the road rather than playing a team that's better than the Redskins. I think they'd mop up Alex Smith and handle that Redskin offense pretty easily. Now Washington's got a good defense. I understand that, but I still want that number five spot, Lee. And in that regard, I would like to fatten up on the Lions and the Falcons twice and have a shot to Lee go into the playoffs with a four-game winning streak, an 11-5 record, and the number five seed. I like the sound of that, Lee, if I'm a Buck fan.
Well, obviously, yeah. If you're going to go into the playoffs, you want to do it on a winning streak. Not a two-game winning streak, but a real winning streak. I agree with you there, Ira. I'm not going to dismiss the Redskins offhand. They're playing strong ball of late. Their defensive line is ferocious. I was just speaking about that. Their defensive line takes over games. That's a beautiful defensive line. When your defensive line can absolutely take over a game, that covers up a lot of ills. And also, let's be honest here, Brady's not exactly mobile, so that might be an ugly matchup. That nasty defensive line for the Redskins and a not-so-mobile Brady. You know, I know this gets everybody mad, but Steve and I are just absolutely not on the Bucs are horrible offensive line bandwagon. Nope. If they were, we'd say it. We don't think they are, and numbers bear us out.
Lee, I don't think there's another team in the league that makes your point any more strongly than Washington in terms of the value of a powerful defensive line. I mean, what else do the Redskins have? Really? What else do they have? They've got a bunch of number one picks up on that defensive line. This guy Sweat is darn good. Chase Young's living up to his billing. Steve and
Ira, they got Peyton Barber. They got Peyton Barber, Ira.
I think they got a receiver. They got a receiver named McLaren. McLaren's pretty good as a receiver.
Peyton Barber, Ira, in the playoffs. Who are you betting on?
Come on, Stevie. Come on.
All right, Sage. Now, the Rams still have to play the Seahawks, and that's in Week 16. So that's going to probably decide the division right there. So, you know, we can chit-chat back and forth, but the Redskins are an interesting team, like you said. They have the Seahawks next week. That could really shake things up, and it could also knock the Redskins out of the playoff chase. Or, you know, deal them a blow if something weird happens there. So, you know, if they lose. So, but who would you like to see the Bucs play, Ira? The Saints lost. They got really annihilated. The Eagles ran for 200-plus yards. It was a fun game to watch. The Saints just had nothing on defense to stop the run game. They were completely surprised, which doesn't happen very often. Of all the possible teams, who do you want the Bucs to play? And who would you like to see them avoid at all costs?
Well, Steve, I hope you're not suggesting that the Bucs would relish a playoff matchup with the Saints. I mean, the Saints beat them convincingly in Week 1 and absolutely destroyed them to start the third quarter of the season. The Saints had a clinker, Lee. Even with the clinker, they made it close with their backup quarterback. I believe that might be Sean Payton's first loss with the backup quarterback without Breeze. I think he was like 7-0, Lee. So he finally lost the game with Breeze on the sideline. Breeze will be back. He will be back. I think they're playing. They might be playing the Chiefs this week, Lee. I'm not sure I'm rushing Breeze back for that, although they're still, you know, hunting for that number one seed, which is important for the week off. Having said that, I want no part of the Saints unless it's the NFC title game, Lee. Then I'll play the Saints. I want to play the Redskins, Lee. I want to play the Eagles. I want to play the Giants again. I do. And if the Bucs play the Giants the way they played the Giants in October, it's going to be a problem. I certainly expect the Bucs to play better in a rematch. If they don't, they get what they deserve, Lee. But certainly the Bucs did not play a good game at the Meadowlands. I think you and I thought they were fortunate to emerge with a victory. If Daniel Jones hits a couple of balls, you know, and some of the cornerbacks had a rough night that night. And it wasn't like they were playing Calvin Johnson, Lee. These guys were getting behind, you know, getting behind Jamel Dean on a regular basis. He's very fortunate. Yeah, he had an awful game. And so I want to play the NFC East. I know that it's a division champion, Lee, but, you know, the idea of going to Lambeau, I don't care what the Bucs did to Green Bay in week four. That's history. I don't want to go to Lambeau. I'm not thrilled with going to L.A. for a rematch with the Rams. Rams are a pretty darn good team. Aaron Donald's a one-man wrecking crew. What a player. Probably win the Defensive Player of the Year for the third time. Third time, Lee. He's just hitting his prime. You know, before the guy's through, he might win it five times. That's how good he is. So to answer Steve's question, I want to play the NFC champ. And to do that, I got to get that number five seed.
Take a guess what matchup Peter King sees happening in the divisional round, which would be the second round. Take a guess what he sees.
I think he's got the Bucks at the Lambeau.
Bucks at Lambeau. And this is something that Phil Mushnick harps on. And in this respect, I don't think Mushnick is wrong. You know if it's Bucks Packers. You know it's going to be a primetime game. You know, what do you think temperature is going to be in northeastern Wisconsin in the middle of January? 10 degrees?
About 16 degrees, yeah. About 16 degrees.
Yeah. Mushnick always makes his point. I think he's running the money in this respect. Why would you put your players and your fans through that? Why would you have them sit out in the bitter cold? Couldn't that make for better football if you had them playing during the day and it might be, maybe 30? Instead of having them sit out in the absolute freezing cold night of Wisconsin when it's 10, 15, maybe zero? Why do you do that to your fans? Why do you do that to your players? Why do you do that to your employees? For the sake of a few extra shekels?
You know the answer, Lisa. I'll say it before Steve does, and TV calls the tune, right, Stevie?
Ira, what's with the 16 degrees? What are you, Mr. G over there?
Call me the second coming of Dennis Phillips, my friend. Dennis Phillips.
Now, I hear what Lee's saying. There's no doubt that it's probably better for everyone during the day, but it's just all about money. So the players spend that money, so I guess they like it.
Steve, would you be comfortable with the Bucks winning in Lambeau? Do you think I think they'd be underdogs, but how much stock you putting in dismantling the Packers early in the season?
Well, Ira, here's my dream scenario is that third game against the Saints, and I'll tell you why. Number one, it would give Bucks fans a chance to go. And I know there's a lot of people dying, aching to see the Bucks in the playoffs after 13 years. The Saints allow some fans, and some Bucks fans with money would be able to get up there. And, God bless them. I would enjoy that for them. Number two, if this coaching staff is any good and Tom Brady is the guy we think he is, that we're told he is, then a third time against the Saints, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times, and they should figure out a lot in that timetable. And the Saints have shown some cracks, and you got a banged up quarterback, and, you know, maybe they'll have some issues there. And, you know, the playoffs are literally in less than 4 weeks, and Drew Brees isn't back yet. So I don't know. I think I would take my shot with the Saints.
You know, the Eagles ran all over the Saints on Sunday, Lee, and, New Orleans defense had been very, very stout going into that game. And, of course, one of the guys was the quarterback, Hurts, who's a heck of a scrambler. But Miles Sanders had a big game, too, Lee. But, you know, I mean, the Saints are a quality team, Lee, any way you look at it. When you compare them to the Redskins as an overall team, yeah, you certainly have to give the nod to New Orleans, Lee. But you know, maybe there's something to what Steve says about how tough it is to beat the same team three times in the same season.
Well, Beckles always talks about that on his podcast, but he also qualifies it, and I agree with him. You're talking about the Saints. You're not talking about the Falcons or the Panthers or somebody like that. You're talking about the Saints, and they're damn good. So even though it is hard to lose to a team or even hard to beat a team three times in 1 year, if one team is, and let's be honest, from what we've seen, the Saints are far superior than the Bucks. Those were not two one-score games. Those were blowouts. One was somewhat of a blowout. The other was like an old-school backyard woodshed ass-kicking.
You know, Steve, you're taking a page out of the Derrick Brooks playbook, which is not a bad playbook, but Steve, you remember that when the Bucks lost at the Vet in the middle of that regular season in 02, I think they lost 20-10. You know, it wasn't a beatdown, but they lost at the end of the game as the seconds were ticking down. What did Derrick Brooks say to any Eagle within earshot? We'll be back. We'll be back.
Hello, Arnold.
And then the Bucks ended up playing the greatest game in franchise history was that game in Philly.
I realize that the ideal team is the NFC East winner. I'm not stupid. And but I think my number two choice would be the Saints. I wouldn't want to go to Lambeau like that. And I don't like the Rams as a matchup and the West Coast game and all that. So especially if Drew Brees doesn't look that great when he comes back, whenever he does come back, assuming he does. I don't know. We got some fun ahead, Sage. And, you know, we are going to wrap up here, but I got to ask you one quick one, and then you can close with some wisdom, and we'll get out of here, Ira. And we want to remind everybody, like we heard before, that Bill Curry Ford, amazing end-of-the-year offers going on right now, BillCurryFord.com. The dealership is a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. It's big, it's beautiful, it's spacious. A lot of distancing available if that's what you want. They will even bring you out a vehicle to your home to test drive. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you any way he can. Email, phone, walk in. He's ready. He loves Ira. He loves Ira Kaufman listeners. You're going to get an extra discount on top of their amazing offers and on top of their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, has Levante David done enough, showed you enough this season where you can say he's earned a Pro Bowl bid that everybody likes to scream he deserves?
Well, I have to do my research, Steve. I am a voter. I think there's 50 voters on the panel from Associated Press.
For All Pro.
This is All Pro, which has a lot more prestige, I think, anybody would argue, than the Pro Bowl. You know, there's some other awards. Pro Football Weekly does something. Some other places, but the AP is the traditional one. They pick the MVP of the league, the rookies of the year, the postseason awards, and the All-Pro team. I believe there might only be two spots for inside linebackers. There might only be two. I'll tell you what, the competition is fierce. I'll give you just a couple of guys off the top of my head. Darius Leonard on the Colts, heck of a player. DeMario Davis, Saints, heck of a player, heck of a defense. So, you know, we're a little spoiled with Levante. He's been consistently excellent. But Buck people love to say that he's the most underrated player in the league. That's quite a statement. But he certainly has been hurt by the Bucks' infinitesimal profile nationally, Lee, until 2020. So that's got to help. The five primetime games help. I wish the Bucks would have played a little bit better, Lee, in primetime. That doesn't help, but he's got a shot, Lee. I'm not ready to fill out my ballot yet, but when I do fill out my ballot, I'm going to announce it right here on this podcast, and we'll see how many Bucks shall make it.
You know what shocked me in your statement there, Ira? It wasn't that you're going to announce your ballot on your podcast, although that's very pleasant to hear, and people will want to tune in for that. What shocked me is I didn't even know Pro Football Weekly was still in existence. I'm not being sarcastic.
Not only are they still alive, I believe they have a weekly television show.
Hub Arkish,
yeah, he's still around. He's still around. Yep.
Well, he's still around, but I thought he ran a Bears magazine now. I didn't know he still ran Pro Football Weekly. I thought that was something else. But
Lee, they have a weekly show, and who's that guy who used to coach the Dolphins maybe three or four seasons?
Johnny Carson?
No. I believe he was part. Yeah, Wonstadt. He's part of the show.
Oh,
that's right.
Oh, Lord.
Yes.
No wonder I thought that thing was defunct.
Yes.
Why would you listen to that guy?
I thought you were going to say
Dave Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt was the ultimate coattails coach. He rode Jimmy Johnson's coattails for years. He was an awful coach everywhere he went, but he coached with Jimmy Johnson.
I guess he coached the Bears, right?
He had control of player personnel. Wanstead did with the Bears. Here was his signature moment. He will go down in my history as the guy who traded the 11th pick overall. 11th pick overall for Rick Meyer.
That's outstanding, Lee. Outstanding.
Just on that move alone, he should have been banned from the sidelines of any level of football. The ultimate Jimmy Johnson coattail coach. Oh,
that's outstanding. That's the hall of shame right there, Steve. Hall of shame.
Little nugget of Bucks history, Ira. Wanstead, of course, was Greg Schiano's special teams coach here in town. Was a very nice guy. I actually got to talk to him a handful of times. And let's just say, in the realm of Bucks history, if Schiano wasn't fired, somebody had told me that there would have been so much pressure from Wanstead, and he had been talking so much to draft Aaron Donald in 2014 that it might have been too much to overcome.
That's outstanding. I got to check that out, Steve. I got to check that out.
All right, Sage, give us some wisdom so we can get the hell out of here.
All right. My wisdom is short and sweet. And, Lee, nobody can argue with this. 8-5 sounds very, very good, especially when you compare it to the dangers of 7-6. This team's going to the playoffs. I think we're all in agreement, barring a total collapse. That's not going to happen. If it happens, Brady, Arians, maybe both of them, at least one of them, ain't going to be here in 2021. So I don't anticipate that. Lee, the 12-year playoff drought is history, Mr. DeKemper. It's over. And the sooner we can make that official, the better. Lee, I'm feeling good about 8-5. This team's got to play better. They got work to do, but we can't be so jaded that we turn our nose down at 8-5.
Hey, the podcast is over. Thank you, Bucks fans, as always, for listening. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, all kinds of places. You'll get a free alert every time it posts. And we appreciate all your support and the support of Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford that makes the podcast happen. And our other great sponsors, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, and Florida's Elite Restoration. Come on out Sunday. Remember, Florida's Elite Restoration is buying you a beer at Big Storm in Clearwater, 49th Street, between noon and 1 o'clock. It's our fan appreciation day. Ira will be out there, as he always is, watching the Bucks game with fans, fired up fans. Beautiful 3,000 square foot outdoor, fully covered area. Weather's supposed to be great. Go Bucks.
I think I'm pulling out the Sage shirt for Sunday.